See you all again this morning. As the world celebrates or remembers Good Friday, Easter, Palm Sunday, this week and the next week, we as charismatics, you know, we have another feast that we celebrate or we remember, and that's the Feast of Passover. This is a Passover season when many born-again charismatic churches really remember the Passover. And so my topic today is about the Passover and the movement from bondage to freedom and how this can be realized in our lives. Amen? It's not just enough to know Jesus as the Lord, but you have to experience the Passover anointing so that your Christian life is effective. You know, just having a profession of faith alone won't do it. It's got to be displayed in or realized in your life from a benefit perspective. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer real quick. And let's just bind all the frequencies that are against the Word of God. And let's just ask the Lord to have free course here. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, Spirit of God, take over. Have full control over this as we study the Passover and our liberation from bondage and moving into freedom, O God. I pray, Lord, there will be truly a Passover anointing that will be released during the service this morning, and that every one of us here would experience a new level of liberation, liberty, and we would leave with great joy, Father. I commit this matter to you. I commit the service. Cover this atmosphere, this service, with the blood of Jesus Christ. I declare, let God arise, let all his enemies be scattered by fire in the name of Jesus. Be with us, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Passover, as I mentioned, is I would say is the most recorded spiritual celebration in the scriptures. The next one that supersedes it is the resurrection. As you know, Israelites were the original benefactors of Passover 2,000 years ago, or even more than that, when God rescued them from the bondage of the Egyptians. If you know the story, over 400 years, the Israelites were under oppressive regime of the Egyptians. And they cried out, and God sends a savior. And who was that? Moses. And you see, Moses, there was a step-by-step process through which God took them, and then they entered into the promised land. Amen? All right, let's look at, so how do we, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Exodus 12. Let's go to the next slide. Exodus 12, verse 13. Turn with me there and let's read that. I would say, the blood on your houses will be a sign for your protection. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Nothing will touch or destroy you. So, you know, remember this historic event that happened when God told the Israelites to apply the blood of the Lamb on the doorposts. And because that night the death angel would be passing. And if you have the blood on the doorpost, the angel will pass over. And not only the angel will pass over, you are also going to pass over. You're going to be escaping death that is coming. Passover is about liberation or freedom of God. Passover releases the anointing of God to free you from the bondage that you are experiencing. As I mentioned earlier, it is not just important to have or profess Christ as our Lord, but we also have to experience the bona fide Passover anointing. Now, we don't traditionally sit down on a Seder meal like the Jews do, and we are not called to do that either anymore. The Passover meal, the traditional Seder meal, now has been substituted by what? Anybody? The Holy Communion, the Lord's Table. So the Lord's table in the new covenant has now taken over, has replaced the traditional cedar meal that the Jews used to partake of. And let's look at that. Go to slide 3, actually, real quick. Next one. Next slide, Sarah. And it's Matthew 26, verse 26 through 28. It says, Jesus took bread. After blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And then also likewise he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the remission of sins. So this new covenant, Holy Communion, or the Lord's table, has replaced the traditional Jewish Seder meal. So you don't have to be running around trying to find where is the Seder meal and all that. Okay? Don't worry about that. Now we do that in the church through Holy Communion. It's good that we do communion as oft as we meet, to be honest with you, because there's a lot of power in this meal. I know we, you know, as a, I don't know about us, but in general, churches have kind of kept this as a rare occasion now, which I don't recommend. The early church used to do this every day because they would meet every day. What you're doing is actually, now, you know, when you come to a Holy Communion table, it's not beating yourself up or trying to be sin conscious or anything like that. Instead, it's a celebration of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You celebrate the finished work of what God has done for mankind when you partake of the table. And today, before we conclude, we're going to partake as a corporate body from the table. This time, your mind is going to be different, not the way you used to partake of the Holy Communion, because this time you're going to do it with a joyful heart because of what Christ has finished on the cross. Amen? Hallelujah. So go back to the second slide, please. So it's all about your freedom. See, to God, your freedom is very important. You understand? Even more than you think or you desire. It's all about freedom. You know, we as a nation, the United States, stands for freedom or liberty. Yet many are in bondage. That's just an outward freedom that, you know, nations represent. The true freedom is spiritual. The true freedom is spiritual. It ain't outwardly show of freedom. So, as you know, in the Garden of Eden, God created us. How? How did He create us? Free, in His image, and He created us free. He didn't put any sort of bondage on us. He didn't put any restrictions on us. He didn't make us robots. He gave us free will. God created us with free will. But guess who messed with it again? Who messed with it? The devil messed with it. Meaning he distorted our consciousness by deception. He caused us to be deceived, and our mentality of freedom got contaminated, and now human race has gone into bondage. But freedom is the reality that God has established, though. But mankind, his mind has now been pulled back into bondage. It's a mind. It's a battlefield of the mind, okay? Even though you're really free, you're bound in your mind. And Jesus came to set you free from that bondage. And Passover releases the anointing to set you free from your bondage. All the mental strongholds and the imaginations and the high things that keeps us away from God. So now we don't have to wait for April or March to celebrate Passover. Through the finished work of the cross, the Passover anointing is up for grabs, always. But you have to grab it. See, we are a charismatic church, right? When a prophetic word or when a word of God is going forth, don't just sit there and be blinking. Receive it. How do you receive it? You say amen. Don't be shy about saying amen or hallelujah, standing and showing yourself like a fool. Don't worry. David danced like a fool in the midst of thousands. And why? And God put the greatest anointing upon that man. You have to receive. It's like, you know, if I had a bunch of seeds in my hand and if I just threw it, you can be sitting there and the seed falling onto the ground, or you can try to grab it. The way you grab spiritual stuff is by saying amen. You receive it to your spirit and you make it deposit into your life. All right? We are not a Baptist church, by the way. You know that. Baptists are actually good. They say amen more than a lot of the Pentecostals. But anyways, I'll keep preaching, you know, no matter whether you say amen or not. All right, so Galatians 5:1, let's look at that. Go back to that next slide. Go to the next slide, please. So your freedom is very important to God. And the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the whole purpose of God redeeming you and me is to restore that freedom of mind. so that you and I can operate in the freedom of Christ consciousness, meaning we can operate like God here, doing His will on earth, enforcing His will on earth. And Apostle Paul is saying it's very easy to now again slip back into a what? A mentality of bondage. Unless you stand firm, do all due diligence to stand firm in the freedom, and I say the free mindset, you'll slip back into a yoke of bondage. God wants, so what is this freedom truly? Like I said, it's a mindset. God wants to eradicate this slave bondage mindset, which is predominantly sin conscious, meaning, you know how Christian churches have spread the cancer called sin consciousness. It's unfortunate because it's just been preaching about hell, condemnation. No. The New Testament message is not about that. The new wine message is about the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's not about sin. It's about hope. It's about salvation. It's about your freedom. It's about you operating like Christ on earth. You know, we heard enough about sin. Everybody knows what sin is. Go and talk to a pagan, they know about sin. It doesn't matter. Son of God came to reconcile and to bring forth everyone back into the identity as sons and daughters of God. It is not to beat them again and again. All right, next one. 1 John 5:8. Let's go to the next one. Next slide. Thank you. So for there are three, John says there are three that testify in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The three that testify on the earth. Meaning, testify meaning, they're continually speaking. Meaning it has efficacy. Efficacy means there is power in these three things. Even though Christ shed His blood 2,000 years ago, how many of you know that the blood is still speaking? There is power in the blood. That's why when I say the blood of Jesus, it sends a ripple effect in the cosmic realm. The blood is still speaking. It is an eternal sacrifice. There is no end to what He done. So there are three things that testify on earth. This verse is talking about Christ being the true Messiah. The Spirit, remember, at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Spirit descended upon Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son." Again, telling the Peter, John, and James, this is the true Messiah. Pay attention to Him. Similarly, at the River Jordan, again, what happened? When Jesus got baptized, that's signifying the water, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and said, "This is my beloved Son." Again, testifying to this is the real deal. And finally, the blood on the cross, speaking and testifying, this is the real Messiah. As we know, He was crucified at the mount called Golgotha, which means a place of skull. And Jewish historians say that when the cross was nailed at Golgotha, or a place of skull, the skull of devil was crushed forever, the head of the enemy. Meaning the central authority or the power that Satan had was totally annihilated at the cross. Fully gone. The place of skull. It was not a coincidence that Christ was crucified in a place called Golgotha. Place of skull or the authority where Satan had authority. Spiritual implication. So there are three that testifies, and I want to focus on the blood because the blood has still power. The blood is still speaking. There is power. Amen? And that is part of that Passover anointing. As I mentioned, once and for all, the Passover anointing is released. It is available 24 hours a day, but you have to grab it. It has to be activated by you. Many are living under par of what Christ has provided. Meaning many of us have accepted Jesus Christ, but many are not living up to the kingdom privileges that God has provided. Because you don't fully understand the Passover anointing that is now available for grabs. And we're going to look at some of the main covenantal privileges that God has released through Passover. So today, before you leave, you can make it your own. Amen. All right, next slide. So I mentioned freedom is, your freedom is very important to God. Okay? And let's look at that verse in Matthew 17, 26. Jesus said to him, the sons are free. The true sons of God or daughters of God are what? Are free. You will start this journey and you will enter into full freedom at some point of your Christian life. When I say full freedom, it's a freedom of the mind, okay? Don't think about anything. You can be anywhere in the world. Apostle John was in the island of Patmos, imprisoned, but he was free. He knew who he was and he knew what he was doing. And John 8, verse 36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. But notice the word, if the Son. Not everybody is enjoying this freedom. You understand this. You can be a Christian, but you might not be enjoying this freedom. You know this verse by heart. Doesn't mean you are enjoying any freedom. You're still being oppressed and depressed because there's no freedom. Because there is an if there, because the Son of God has to set you free. This is not something that just because I said a Bible verse, it becomes a reality. This is something Jesus himself has to activate in you. But how does this activation happen? Look at John 8, 32. You will know the truth, and truth will set you free. As I mentioned, this kind of freedom comes through revelation. Especially in the charismatic circle, let me tell you again, I love the charismatics and what we do, but there's a lot of drawbacks too. Many of the charismatic realms don't know the Word of God. You know, an average preacher in the charismatic realm, if you look at it, they seldom break the Word of God. They just come and spend 45 minutes to 1 hour talking about their philosophies. It doesn't help anybody. You got to break the Word of God and feed the people. There's no other way you will be nourished. I can sit, stand here and talk to you what I think, but it won't do a thing in your spirit. You need the Word of God being divided. This is how Jesus ministered. The Bible says he broke the Word and fed them. And the people's hearts were burning while he was talking. So the charismatic realm, we need to get back into the Word. Because you have to know the truth first. And the truth will say, meaning the revelation is what's going to set you free. It's not what, you know, the average preacher thinks about his football scores or his intellect. It doesn't work. The Word of God has to be continually delivered and broken down. And the book of Jeremiah says, I will give you pastors who will give you wisdom and understanding. These are very few people who do this. Truly breaking the Word and giving it to people. So now we know why the Baptist churches and other Presbyterian churches, the tens of thousands fill the chairs. They divide the Word of God. They're not just waving flags and jumping around in the church. They feed the Word. I love, don't mistake me here, I love the banners and the flags and all that. But if that's all is limited to, you're having a bunch of ignorant people sitting in the church. Don't have any clue of the depths of the Word of God. So we got to be kind of like the hybrid here, you know. We need the whole Pentecostal explosion, but at the same time, we need the Word of God, like the Baptists love it. You know, some of the preachers I listen to, you wouldn't believe, are Baptists. John MacArthur, I know you will know, some of you might be like, what's going on? And a few of those people who will divide the Word of God. I'm not saying I agree with him or her completely, but I extract what I need from that. Because I enjoy, how many of you enjoy a nice filet mignon? Oh yeah, I love that too. And I'm talking about the Word too. I love a good Word. You know, I just love breaking the bread and just being nourished by it. So the truth is what's going to set you free. Not anything else. Meaning, your freedom is going to be activated through revelation. Some mental blocks have to be undone before you can fully operate as sons and daughters of God. And when you do that, when you pursue the serious study of the Word of God and pursue Jesus, who will set you free? He's going to set you free. It's a work of Jesus. He sets people free as they pursue him diligently. When I say pursue his knowledge, wisdom, and revelation. you are on a constant pursuit of, Lord, I want to know the truth. And you are ready to engage in studying the scriptures methodically. I'm just telling you, my first 5 or 6 years, I think average of 4 hours a day, just the Word of God. I wouldn't read the average Christian book. I wouldn't listen to the Christian TV, because I'll tell you honestly, it'll contaminate you. A lot of it, I think 90% of the literature out there is junk. Pure junk. It's not New Covenant material. It's a lot of sinful sin and condemnation. And if you watch a TV show these days in Christian TV, it'll confuse you by and large. I would say if you can find 2 or 3 really good Bible teachers who faithfully handles the Word of God, sit under them. And you also need to have your own study. That's very important. Because God's going to develop you and bring you into the level of freedom as you form a mindset that is independent as well. When I say independent, you got to be able to stand on your own with the Word of God at some point. But that first starts with also comparing and contrasting with some of the respected, well-known Bible teachers. It's very important too, so that you don't go into error. So what I'm trying to say is seriously take up some study daily. At least 30 minutes just breaking the bread. Now, I'm not talking about reading a Christian book. Get into your scriptures. And just don't do Psalm 103 today and tomorrow Luke 2. No, don't do that. You need to learn to go methodically. I used to milk verse by verse. I mean, I'll start with Galatians and I'll be there, chapter 1, verse 2, 3. I just, whatever I can milk from it. That's how pretty much the whole New Testament, it was God's journey. He took me through it. Why? So that I can skillfully handle the word. How many of you would trust a person to build furniture who is not a skilled carpenter? Or can you trust a cardiologist who doesn't understand cardiology or any of the part of surgery? No. If you want somebody to cut your heart open, he better be skilled. But in the Christian church, we let any Tom, Dick, and Harry do this teaching thing or preaching thing. Seriously. It's left, you know, a lot of the charismatics are gone. I don't blame the other ones, because the other one, the denominations which we think are backward are doing a way better job in handling the word. Because people need nourishment. People need the bread of life to nourish them. Otherwise, you'll keep on starving, and finally you're confused and spiritually dead. All right, so let's go there. So the Son has to set you free, and that's it. The freedom is going to come through revelation. Because you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right, next verse, next slide. So Apostle Paul is saying, get rid of the old east. When we say old east, the old mindset, which is filled with sin consciousness, so that you may be a new batch. For in fact, you are new and free from corruption. Did you know that? The reality of life is this, that everyone sitting, if you're born again, you are completely new, fully established in the Spirit of God. But what is hindering you from seeing you in the right fashion? What is it? The east of the old mindset. And I say east means the sin consciousness from the Adamic background that you received first is still blocking you from operating as a son or daughter of God. So Apostle Paul says, get rid of that mindset, the sin conscious mindset, and transition into the new, for our Passover lamb has already been offered in sacrifice. Amen. So, again, a shift from the old to the new is being exhorted. So there are certain blessings, as I mentioned, Passover anointing is now up for grabs. Since Christ our Passover has been sacrificed, you don't have to wait for next April or the regular Jewish Passover season to receive this. You can receive it today during the service. In fact, the Lord told me, some of you are going to Passover today, this morning. Whatever has been holding you back in bondage, you're going to snap out of it today. And you're going to be running around in joy, honestly. And let's look at the covenantal blessings of Passover so that you know what to receive. Okay? And I want to take you to Psalm 91, because Psalm 91 is a classic Passover blessing passage. Let's go to Psalm 91. Because I want to show you some truths from this so that you know how to activate this. Thank you, Jesus. So Psalm 91 says, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Dwelling in the secret place is number one. But again, that's a work of God. The book of Ephesians says, we who are saved are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. So dwelling in the secret place is nothing but really being hidden with God. How did that happen? As you became born again, as you got baptized into Christ Jesus, now God has hid you under the pavilion of his wings. And now you dwell in the secret place. It's not something that you do to make sure that I dwell there. That divine transaction happened as you became born again. Now you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. The Passover anointing blessings, some of it are voice activated. Voice activated. Have you seen the new cars? I don't have to press any buttons anymore. I say, call Jeff, call Chris, and it'll dial. Or change menu. Boom, it's gone. Oh, even your iPhone, just press and ask Siri. Hey, Siri. You know, my kids abuse that thing, you know. And finally, Siri, you know, talks a lot of trash back to them nowadays, you know. What I'm trying to say is, there's a lot. You see the concept of voice activation. Voice activation. Kingdom blessings, a lot of it, I would say the majority, are voice activated. Somebody has to decree or declare or speak. And that's what Apostle Paul said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Did he say that? If you believe in your heart, and then what? Confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Meaning, there's a voice activation involved to get what you need. So in this case also, the Passover anointing blessings is released as you activate it with your sound, as you speak it. And you'll say what? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Glory. So this is something that you do daily. This is how you start activating. You know, every morning you have an alarm that activates. You go to work, right? Just because you set up, just because you woke up yesterday to work doesn't mean it'll automatically happen today. You have to do it. Similarly, kingdom blessings have to be activated daily. Your historic prayer and salvation from 1970s won't work today. You have to do this daily. Thank you, Jesus. So I will say of the Lord, so when you wake up in the morning, just say, God is my refuge. God is my fortress. My God in whom I will trust. And you wake up. Jesus. So there is a confession, a sound that is released, which unlocks glory of God. Remember last week when Apostle Clay was here, I mentioned honor unlocks glory. When you give God the honor that is due, it releases the floodgates of glory upon your life. And that's why, you know, don't do tithes or first fruits or giving from a religious mindset. Oh, I'm just doing it because God. No, no, no. You do it because you honor God. I would even say until you have an honor mindset, refrain from certain things. Meaning, you have to get a glimpse of God and proper honoring God. And then you bring your tithes with no restrictions because you truly say, God, you are my sustainer. You are my provider. Here, I offer my tithes in the house of God. You have to also understand kingdom business. You should be quick to cut off the first part of your check or to bring the offerings to a house like this. Why? Because we are here in this region for kingdom business. This is not a man-made organization. Citygate Church is an establishment by the Holy Spirit, whether you like it or not. There might be just few people here, but I'm telling you, my friends, this is a house that is instrumental for this region. And you will see it in the coming years, how God elevates this house to another level. Because many of the mediocre and maybe even the larger churches will run here to understand how to operate in kingdom strategy. So why am I saying this? you have a great chance to invest into this kingdom business. It's important because, again, catching God's vision is important. Honoring God and catching God's vision and contributing towards God's vision is key. Because when you do that, He's going to also multiply the seed in your hand. Because you're doing something that pleases Him. Well, that's not my, you know, giving is not my topic today, but honor is important. So when you say of the Lord, you honor God. You honor God and say, He is my refuge. Who needs a refuge usually? A refugee. Who is a refugee? A refugee is someone who has been disinherited or misplaced. Look at when Hurricane Katrina happened. What happened? Many were refugees. Syria. In Syria, there's a lot of refugees. They've been displaced or whatever you might want to call it. A refugee is someone who has lost everything. And God says, even when you lost everything, I'll be there as your refuge. He is my refuge. You know, most of us, or I would say every one of us, had faced some form of loss in our lives. Correct? And He will be our refuge. And that's His promise as you grab that anointing. Amen. And not only that, He's my fortress. What is a fortress? Fortress is an embankment or a fortified structure that provides protection. So not only when you are a refugee, you lost everything. He's saying, I'm going to restore that. And now I'm going to put a fortress around you. So that next time it doesn't happen. And this is why we need the Passover anointing, because the world goes through the cycle of losses. And again, losses, the cycle. But with God, that's not the case. He stops the cycle. He now becomes a refuge, stops the bleeding, and then guess what? He now puts a new embankment around us so that it doesn't happen again. Glory. And He's my God in whom I will trust. So the five blessings in the following verses, we're going to look at the five covenantal blessings released of Passover. But what am I trying to say? It's voice activated, my friends. You got to be able to activate it through your declaration. First blessing of Passover. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Anybody know who a fowler is? Fowler is a hunter, but not a regular hunter. He's a professional, skilled hunter. So regular hunting, what do? You do hunting for, anybody here, hunters? Deer hunters, okay. What, deer, duck, what do you do? Both. So I'm thinking you do it for pleasure, right? Pleasure, recreation. But a fowler is not like that. Fowler is not doing it for pleasure. His main goal is to set a trap on the prey based on their weaknesses and destroy it completely. The fowler is talking about here is a skilled hunter who watches you. Not that he wants to understand your nature, but he wants to understand your weakness. And then he sets a trap based exactly on your weakness. That's what a fowler does. And this is what the devil has been doing to the people of God over and over again. He knows, he's been watching us. He knows exactly where our weak points are. And at key points, he comes in like a flood. And God is saying, this Passover season, you can grab this anointing where God will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. See, many of you can testify that God, the devil couldn't go as far as he wanted to go with our lives, right? If God wasn't there, he could have really wreaked a havoc in our lives because of our weaknesses. Some of us who enjoyed this anointing, we can say, surely my God has delivered me out of the snare of the fowler. Because many a times, the devil has come against us based on our weaknesses. Hallelujah. But the Lord has delivered us from that snare. The snare could have completely destroyed our reputation, completely destroyed our finances, our families. But the Lord caused us to escape like a bird that escapes out of the trap of the hunter. Thank you, Jesus. So the fowler fully studies you and sets a trap. His goal is to destroy you completely. Look at the next slide. What did Apostle Paul say about this? Next slide. Actually, Peter. First Peter, first, look at the second one first, then I'll go to... So 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be alert. What does the fowler do? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. This is a task 24/7 of the fowler. He's looking whom he can devour or destroy completely. So the Apostle John brings in the three weaknesses of humanity. So the fowler uses these three main baits. Look at the verse 1 John 2:16. These are the three main weaknesses that the fowler uses against us. What are they? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Most, if not every sin falls into one of those categories. This is the main weapon that he uses against human race. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can introspect where you fall. But guess what? The good thing about Passover anointing is this, that God is not waiting you to be perfect to get you out. Once you receive this anointing, he's going to cause you to escape, even in the midst of your folly and weaknesses. Thank you, Jesus. I can testify over and over again. I've been a beneficiary or benefactor of the Passover anointing. He's rescued me over and over again from the many snares of the fowler. Thank you, Jesus. Next one, the second blessing. He shall deliver you from the noisome pestilence. Anybody know what a pestilence is? It's a plague. It's a spread like a H1N1 swine flu or some other disease that spread. But he starts saying he will deliver you from the noisome. Noisome means something that is extremely disgusting, something that is extremely harassing, something that is rampant. And God wants to deliver his people from such extremely offensive and harmful attacks of the enemy, especially from sickness and disease perspective. Just because your friends are going through swine flu, you can be sure that you and your family will be not part of that. You don't have to agree with that. But why? Because his promise is, I shall deliver you from the noisome pestilence. Psalm 103 verse 3 says, he forgives all my iniquities and heals what? All my diseases. Another covenant blessing. All diseases is part of God's covenant healing. And he says in Exodus 15:26, I will put none of these diseases among you that's upon the Egyptians. I'll tell you a vision that I had. A vision was about a family, a sane family, sane men meaning people who are born again. And God showed a huge mountain. I wish I had a picture of a mountain. And then there's land, right? Or valley or whatever you call it. So this family is on top of this mountain. And at the bottom, the whole world, you know, just the whole commotion of the world. And God was revealing to me that this is the covenant blessing of people who've truly passed over. God sets you on top of such a high mountain where the world and its commotions cannot touch you anymore, you or your family. He delivers you from the noise and pestilence. He elevates the people of God to a higher pedestal. So whatever is going on the ground is not going to be bothering them. We need that privilege, right? We can't be living at the ground level and going through the motions of what the world goes through. No, you are better than that. You have a covenant with God. And you need to be able to grasp that and to receive that in your life. So the noise and pestilence, contagious kind of diseases and pestilence, it should not be part of the church. The early church, or even Israelites, there was none weak among them, the Bible says. Because when you operate in covenant, there's certain anointing that is released that helps you run truly as sons and daughters of God. And we need that. Why am I reminding this? So that you aspire for higher. So you don't live in the same pedestal that you might be living in. Thank you, Jesus. The next one, the third blessing of Passover. Next slide. He will cover us with his feathers and gives his angels to protect us. So the third covenant blessing of Passover is protection. Number one, his presence. He will cover us with his feathers, meaning there is an ongoing Shekinah glory of God with you wherever you go if you are enjoying this Passover anointing. He covers you with his feathers. You are under his shadow. The shadow of God is continually with you. Remember, the Bible says when Mary had a visitation, the Spirit overshadowed her. We need the Spirit's overshadowing of us all the time. Wherever we go, to the market, to the school, to the workplaces, to the church, the Spirit of God needs to be overshadowing us. And how do you activate it? Voice activation. You say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And then not only He'll cover us with His feathers, what else does He do? He gives His angels to protect us. The Bible says, He gives His angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. Accidents, calamities, certain things that, certain dangers that happen, is because there is no covenantal protection of God. I hate to say this, but that's the truth. You can be offended if you want, but you better get into the covenantal protection of God. We need to ensure that we are covered daily by the blood of the Lamb and by the Spirit of God, so that what happens to the world doesn't happen to us. He gives His angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You and your family need to have this kind of coverage daily. Got to aim for the stars, my friends. Don't limit God and say, oh, that might be written, it might not be true. No. You know, I think a few weeks ago, when we were having prayer time, someone had, I forget his name, but he fell from a tree. As I was praying for him, God merely said, the protective hedge needed to be put on that gentleman. And I told him, daily, cover you and your family with the blood of Jesus. And I rebuke that spirit that is trying to cause accidents. Don't think accident is some coincidence, okay? You don't need to accept any of this mediocre stuff. Rebuke the devil out of your home. And make sure none of those spirits of fracture, accidents, calamities happen to you. No. You don't need to operate like that. You speak the blood, you speak the covenant protection, and you operate in God's high places. That's the destiny that you and I have. Thank you, Jesus. And then what He gives us. So I'll tell you, when I was in California for a conference, a man of God came up to me and said, he's a British man, but he works in India. He's a missionary in India. And he was all over fire, okay? The minute I shook his hand onwards, I felt fire. And he prayed over me, and the fire fell on me like multiple times. I was about to fall, I felt. So I asked him, you're a British guy. I think his name is John Butler or something like that. Why are you going to India, especially one of the dangerous parts of India, to do this? I mean, I wouldn't, to be honest with you, if you asked me if I would go today, I would say no. Because that's how horrific and dangerous it is. I think it is Bihar. The place called Bihar. But he said, my brother, this is how I survive. I soak 4 to 6 hours daily in the presence of God. He just said, I would be lying down on the floor. Otherwise, he cannot survive. He has to be clothed and impregnated with strength from God daily. There's no other way, he said, I can move forward. But guess what? He looks like an average man, you know, meaning his dressing, his appearance. But the man of God is infused with power. Thank God I just talked to him. And the minute he prayed over me and he laid hands on me, the wind blew, fire fell. I'm not exaggerating. The wind was hitting so hard, I was looking, where is this wind coming from? And then the fire fell. And he told me, my son, I see an angel of strength is assigned with you always. I didn't know this. I knew a little bit about angel and all that, but I didn't know an angel is, even now, thank you, angel, I would say thanks. is assigned with me 24/7, he said. And the angel is the angel of strength. So everybody, I remember when I went to Nashville for the Voice of the Apostles, Vicky was there, and a prophet, I forget the prophet's name, he came up and said, an angel called Breakthrough is assigned for this conference from this year. Did you hear that? Meaning they had 7,000 people in Nashville at a big auditorium. Huge conference, Bill Johnson and... But until that year, they couldn't break through outside a certain number. But the prophet said, I see an angel this year. The angel's name is Breakthrough. And from now on, you're just going to go into another level. So angels have been assigned to with different names for each of our needs. It could be multiple angels. It could be one angel. But he gives his angels charge over you. What does the Bible say? So that they will protect you in all your ways. You need angels. And that's what the Bible says. Do not offend your angels. In the book of Exodus, I believe it says, do not offend your angels. Don't do anything that would offend your angel. Keep your camp holy. Thank you, Jesus. Next slide, please. Next one is the fourth blessing of Passover is he gives you authority over the demonic realm. Again, not many are operating in this covenant blessings either. How many of you are operating with power over kingdom of darkness? I would say very few. This is again an anointing. Now you can say in the name of Jesus and all, but nothing will happen. I've seen a lot of people doing that kind of ministry. You know, just saying in the name of Jesus, go rebuke. But the devil would be still there. Because it takes a certain level of anointing before you can blast the devil out. And so the Passover anointing releases authority over demonic attacks. Let's look at it. Psalm 91 verse 13. It says, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. All these animals are symbolic of different levels of demonic realm. The lion, the first level. The lion represents a demonic attack where you face a warfare of tongues. When I say tongues, when people start to talk ill against you, accusations, slander, gossip, this is the first level of satanic attack, the lion attack. This is why Apostle Paul says in the book of Timothy, God has delivered me from the mouth of the lion, because he was going through a lot of accusations. Many people were saying Apostle Paul is no apostle. He's a man-made apostle, this, that. They were trying to degrade him. But then God says, God has delivered me from the mouth of the lion, Apostle Paul says in the book of Timothy. So the first level of attack, the lion attack, is when the whole hell breaks loose through railings and accusations and lies against you. How many of you have gone through such attacks? Raise your hands. I've gone through several. When people would start to yap their tongues against you. And you don't even know what's going on. They suddenly bring all these accusations against you, which you are not even aware of. If you haven't gone through this, there's a lot of levels you have to pass before you get authority over this. God will send you through certain things before he can anoint you as king. The Lord told me once, you cannot be an effective minister or helper to mankind until you've gone through what the general mankind is going through. So if you haven't gone through anything, you're not ready for any ministry. I'm telling you. You'll have to sometimes go through the valleys of the shadow of death before God will exalt you and get you ready to help others. So first level of attack, the demonic attack, is the lion level. The lion talks about people talking against you. Lies, accusations, slander. The next is what? The adder. Anybody know the adder? It's a snake. Not just any snake, very poisonous snake. See, you guys know this. What hurts when a snake bites is not the bite itself, but it's the venom. That's the next level of demonic attack, the adder attack, when the venom is injected and cripples and paralyzes you. The greatest venom that this level of demonic attack unleashes against you is deception. The devil tries to deceive you into thinking about your situation more exaggerated than what it is really. He deceives. The arrow attack is when the devil blows up. Have you gone across, been through a crisis at work or at home when the devil just magnifies a problem to a level where even though that thing is really nothing, that's the arrow attack. When he blows it up or, blows it out of proportion, not blows it up, blows it out of proportion. The venom, the deception of the venom. Jesus. And the next is the young lion. The young lion demonic attack is an attack against your spiritual immaturity. When you are not mature in the Lord, you are prone to a lot of attacks of the devil. That's a young lion attack. And you'll end up in a lot of trouble because you're not spiritually mature. You end up in a lot of pitfalls. And that's a young lion attack. And the only remedy to get out of this is to grow fast in the Lord. How many of you know the devil don't do everything? You have some part in it. And a lot of the traps we've been into is because of our own folly, our own immaturity. And so the young lion attack is something also God protects us from. Thank God, even though I was foolish and immature once upon a time, he didn't let me face the impact I could have faced. That's a Passover anointing. We could have caused a shipwreck, but God prevented certain things from happening or going far in our life. Pure mercy of God. Thank you, Jesus. And finally, the dragon. Ooh, this is a chief one. When you see a dragon level of demonic attack, you're talking about Satan himself. The fallen Lucifer himself. See, usually Satan don't bother with 99% of the saints. Because he just sends his emissaries. He only deals one-on-one with a Jesus or a Paul or a few of the prime level candidates. As you grow spiritually mature, if he knows that you are a highly spiritually mature people, you're going to go one-on-one with the dragon. He will stop sending emissaries to you. He will stop sending his second level, third level demonic cohorts to you. He is going to come directly as you grow mature. But until then, you'll be battling with some of the second and third tier demonic realm. Either way, it is still tough. But even the God's covenant blessing is this, that even the dragon you will trample underfoot. Jesus, under your feet. Let's look at the little bit of features of the dragon so you understand. Next slide, please. The dragon, the book of Revelation says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. How many of you know there is spiritual warfare in the heavenlies? Daniel prayed for 21 days, but the answer to the prayers was blocked by the prince of Persia. Meaning there is, even though you don't see it with your naked eye, there is real spiritual battle going on in the heavenlies. There is intense spiritual battle before the 2016 presidential election. Do you know that? If it weren't for the prayer and fasting and prayerful intercession and warfare of the saints of God, the devil could have prevailed. But thank God, God moved his church to help the angels of God to fight the dragon. Sometimes satanic level spirits are so strong that God releases his archangel like Michael to come down and cut it out. There's no other way. I remember my early days of Christianity, some of my prophetic fathers, while they were praying, they would call. They say, Michael, come down and cut this. Some of the obstacles that I faced that time, they summoned. So I didn't know, man, so you could do this. Yes, they can. They can call angels by name for help. So you see, there's a war in heavenly realms. And they're fighting back too. It's not like they're just standing there at the receiving. Look at that. The dragon and his angels fought back. And then Revelation 2:13, we look at the church of Pergamos. And it says, Jesus says to the church of Pergamos, he says, I know that you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Yet you have remained loyal to me. You refuse to deny me. Listen, when you see a phrase like this, you live in the city where Satan has his throne. Remember this, Satan is not interested in non-spiritual cities. Satan puts his headquarters in places where there is a lot of spiritual activity and spiritual maturity. Pergamos was one of the hot centers of revival, or when I say revival, this activity of the spirit back in Asia Minor. And guess where Satan puts his throne? In Pergamos. So, you know, traditionally we think Satan is in the bar and Satan is in the movie theater. No. Satan is looking for some hot spots like hot fire churches, firebrand churches, and people and fellowships. Because that's where his focus is. Because he's got the bar already. He's got the theaters already. He's got your fried chicken corners already. You know. He's got all those, you know, places where the flesh is reveled. But his focus, where he puts his throne, is hot spots for God, where there's intense spiritual activity, spiritual maturity, and revelation. Thank you, Jesus. So let's go to the next one, please. So the final blessing. The fifth blessing of the Passover is he will deliver you and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the Psalm 91, verse 14. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. So, there are more blessings, but I just wanted to bring the main five. The fifth blessing of Passover is God will deliver you out of every trouble. No matter what mess you get up or get into, God will find a way to bring you out of it. Apostle Paul says, no temptation has come to man where God will not bring a way of escape. So God is going to, because you are in covenant with God and you have grabbed the Passover anointing, God is going to deliver you from every trouble that comes your way. And so what does he do first? He says, I will set him on high. The first thing that comes to you after you've been delivered from trouble is promotion. So not as your enemies might have thought, you're done. You're done deal. You are not going to get up. But that's not the end story here. God's going to deliver you out of the trouble that you're going through, and then he's going to set you on high. He's going to make you a display in front of your enemies. That's where David said in the book of Psalms, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You might not want any vengeance against your enemies, but God will make sure he takes vengeance upon your enemies. And he does that by showing you off. He'll set you on high. He'll make a public display of the glory and honor that he's going to place on you. And he shall call upon me and answer him. I will deliver him and honor him. So, as I mentioned, the divine principle is such that God will allow you to go through some troubles just to show his glory upon your life in the midst of your enemies. So don't think all the troubles that you're going through is bad. No. As I mentioned last time, it's a setup to exalt you into your highest position. Nothing happens by chance or accident to the people of God. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen, somebody. So don't worry of what you're going through. It's a setup to honor you, to promote you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's look at a quick recap. Next slide, please. So the five blessings of Passover. Again, I said, Passover anointing now is continually in the air. If you have a radio here or something like that, if you tune to 94.9, what do you get? K-Love, right? The frequency, the radio frequency is 24/7 available. You got to tune to it. The Passover anointing has been once and for all released. It's up for you to grab. Amen. So we're going to take some. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Receive. I want Ira and someone else to come. We're going to pass the communion elements, because one of the chief ways you partake of the Passover anointing is by partaking in the table of the Lord. As you eat of his body and drink of his blood, the life of God is going to flow through your veins. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, stand up on your feet for a second. Glory, Jesus. You know, I want some of us to pass over. We don't want to be stuck in the same cycle. Passing over from bondage to liberty. Jesus. Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul says, when you partake of the table, don't partake yet. We'll do it together. Apostle Paul says, you have to discern the Lord's body when you take this element. When I say discern the Lord's body, what it means is fully understand the finished work of Christ. It's over, guys. Don't worry about sin and condemnation. Christ took it upon himself. You are going to celebrate the table because of the freedom he's released upon you now. You're free. You're not bound. You're righteous. God doesn't hold your sins against you anymore. So as you partake of this elements, you do it in thanksgiving. You say, God, I thank you that you've not allowed this to come upon my head. Instead, you took it upon you. You bore it upon your body. You broke your body so that I can live. You shed your blood so that I can operate like a king and priest on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. Natalie, would you mind playing? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I want some tongue talking intercessor for a second. Lord, do you want to just pray?
Come on, let's pray in the spirit. Come on. Father, we appropriate these blessings. We appropriate, we take hold, we grab a hold of what you have designed to be ours through the blood of your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for that blood that was shed. Thank you, Lord, that for that blood that has reversed completely the effects of the work of the enemy. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that blood that has nullified the death. Lord, we thank you for that blood. We thank you for that blood right now. We appropriate these blessings of Passover. Just grab a hold. Just grab a hold of it. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord.
Jesus, come on, let's take the bread. Remember, this is the broken body of Jesus Christ. He bore upon his body our sicknesses, our infirmities, so that we can be healthy. So we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do this with a grateful heart because he broke his body so that we may live and declare his works. Come on, partake of his body. So let's take him just a minute just to remember his body. Don't skip the body and only direct go to the blood. We need the body and the blood. Let the life of God flow through you. As you partake of his flesh, let the healing power flow through your veins. Remove all sickness and disease. Remove all infirmities. Remove all blockages. Jesus. Likewise, he took the cup. He gave thanks and said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the blood that will be shed for the remission of our sins. My friends, the blood still speaks. The blood will speak forever. And let's partake of the blood of the new covenant with thanksgiving. For he has set us free. We are now kings and priests unto God. Come on, partake of it with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give a clap offering and just thank God loudly as you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.
I exalt thee. I exalt thee.
Father God, that you make us whole, Father God, that you make us new every single day. I just watched my youngest daughter take communion for the first time, and she wanted to eat the whole container, which was funny, but just watching it and just seeing my kids just, you know, want to take part in the Lord and take part in Christ is just, I just felt a peace come upon us. So Lord, I just pray for peace right now, Father God. I just pray for your peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, Father God. The peace that we need through all trials and all tribulations, Father God. But even the peace that we need in the good days, Lord, even the days that are perfect, Father God, we still need your peace, Father God. We live and we're rejuvenated through your peace, Father God. It's your peace that makes us whole, Father God. And we just thank you, Father God. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. And we thank you for that peace. Right now, just reach out and just grab that peace and just bring it in. Yes, Father, we just thank you for your peace. We thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a big hand clap?